Now, just hold that scripture there, Romans 1. I'm quite sure that like you and like me, the Apostle Paul grew weary of the journey. I'm just sure that he did. On more than one occasion, Paul was heard to say this, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. In fact, he said, I am torn between the two, whether to remain here or depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He got weary with the journey. There were several things, I'm sure, that wearied him, and I can identify with some of them. Paul grew weary of traveling. I know that he did. I'm sure that he would have enjoyed a quiet home somewhere where he could study and rest and receive his friends and a small group of believers where he could meet and just talk about the things of Christ. Don't you imagine that he would have enjoyed that instead of always being on the road? And I believe he must have grown weary of the hatred and enmity of the world. Of course, our Lord said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you, and it hated me without a cause. But the world despises, literally despises, the grace of God and the message of grace. They hate it. And I know the people, many of the people with whom you work and in the neighborhood where you live, they don't like what you believe. They don't like this gospel that gives God all the glory and shuts man up to sovereign mercy. They don't like that. And it's just wearisome having all the time to deal with unsaved relatives and rebellious friends. And I'm sure Paul wearied of it. And I'll tell you something else I'm sure that he wearied of, and that was division and strife and envy among believers. He spent quite a bit of the book of 1 Corinthians talking about envy and strife and division among churches and those who profess the name of Christ. He said it even exists between preachers. Some preach Christ out of envy, strife, contention. Philippians, on one occasion, he said, only Luke is with me. He said, at my first trial, nobody stood with me. But now he said, only Luke's with me. That must have been discouraging to him. And he'd like to just go on, leave it. I'm sure that he did. I'm sure he grew weary of the pressure of the ministry, the responsibility of the ministry, the responsibility of leadership and preparation and missionary work. And he said, the care of the churches is upon me. But here he is in verse 13 talking about keeping on. Look at him in verse 13. Now he writes to this church at Rome and he said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come to you. Make another trip. Go on another journey. I purposed to come to you, but I was prevented. I wasn't let hitherto. And I wanted to come among you to have some fruit among you, as I have among other Gentiles, the church at Ephesus, church at Galatia, and other churches. I'd like to come to Rome and preach to you, that I might have some fruit among you. And I think the chief reason, as I say, I think he grew weary and tired of the way. But here he is talking about going again. The chief reason is given in verse 14. He says, because I'm a debtor. That's the reason. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to God because of the mercy and grace that he has revealed in me and to me. He said, I obtained mercy. I was injurious. I was a blasphemer. But I obtained mercy. I'm a debtor. And he said, because of the gift that God has given me to preach the gospel. He said, I'm less than the least of all the saints to whom this grace is given, but he's given me a gift. And so I'm a debtor to share it. I'm a debtor to keep on preaching because he's given me that gift. He's given me that ability to preach. And not only that, but he put me in the ministry. He put me in the ministry and has opened doors for me to preach. Therefore, I'm a debtor. I may grow weary of the way. I may long to go home to be with Christ. But as long as he leaves me here, I have an obligation to fulfill. I have a ministry to complete. And that's not only so of Paul, that's so of you and me. We have a dispensation of the gospel, a duty to perform, an obligation to fulfill, and a debt to pay to the wise and the unwise. That's what he said. I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to the Greeks. I'm a debtor to the barbarians. I'm a debtor to the wise. I'm a debtor to the unwise. I'm in debt, and I've got an obligation. And I've got to fulfill it. Bridget sings that song, Chosen, not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in my Savior's side and by his Spirit, sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on this earth to show by my love, faithfulness, how much I owe. Teach me, Lord, on this earth to show I'm a debtor. And when I stand before your throne dressed in beauty, not my own, and when I see thee as thou art and love thee with an unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, and not till then, how much I owe. So, verse 15, so, I'm a debtor, so, as much as in me is. As much strength as I have and as much opportunity as God gives me, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. And when he said Rome, that's the headquarters of pagan, heathenistic, militarism, name it. Headquarters of the pagan Roman Empire, seat of Satan. Where the heat of persecution raged, Rome. But I'm a debtor, and so much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel at Rome also. They said, if you go up there, you're going to die, Paul. Well, I'm ready to do that too. That's what he said. Because, verse 16, for, because, I tell you, I'm a debtor, and I'm ready to preach the gospel at Rome, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the gospel I'm going to preach at Rome. It didn't matter where he preached or to whom he preached. He's going to preach the gospel. It's the same gospel for all men. I'm ready to preach. I'm not ready to match wits with them. I'm not ready to show them my gifts and abilities or show off. I'm ready to preach the gospel at Rome. That's what I go to Rome to preach. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of his sovereign grace. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of his crucified, maligned, suffering, substitute, son. I'm not ashamed of the risen Redeemer, the exalted mediator. I'm not ashamed of sovereign mercy. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of it. Because, I'm not ashamed because, for, that gospel is the power of God. God has chosen, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching the gospel to save them that believe. That's how a man saved, by hearing and believing the gospel. That gospel is literally the very power of God to salvation. It enables God to be just and justified. That's how powerful the gospel is. It puts away all sin of all believers. That's how powerful the gospel is. It redeems, it justifies, it sanctifies, it keeps all who believe. That's how powerful this gospel is. We've got a... You talk about those... I'm watching television news today and talked about that bomb that went through 14 feet of concrete like it was butter. That's what the announcer said. What that general said, it went through that 14 feet of concrete like it was butter. My gospel can slide through even faster than that. It can reach to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, to the bone and the marrow. You talk about radar gospel. If God Almighty is pleased to touch your heart with the gospel, it'll find you where you are. That's how it pierced the hardest armor and the hardest heart. It's the power of God. The power of God. That's the reason I'm not. Now, this compromising gospel, there's no power in it. If you want the power of God on your ministry and on your preaching, on your church, then preach the gospel of God's grace. That's where the power of God is. You can carry on a show with this other gospel, but there's no power in it. But this is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For, because he keeps giving us, he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel at Rome because I'm a debtor. And I'm ready to go to Rome because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to salvation. It's the power of God to salvation because in that gospel, verse 17, is the righteousness of God revealed. That's where you find out who God is and what you are and how God saves sinners in that gospel. Man doesn't know anything about God till he knows the gospel. That gospel is the power of God to salvation to whomever, because therein, in that gospel of Christ, in that gospel concerning his Son, which Charlie read about, there is the very righteousness and holiness of God revealed from one degree of faith to the other. From faith to faith. From one degree of faith to the other. As you grow in faith, you'll have a clearer view of that righteousness. That's what he's saying. The more you read this word, the more you hear that gospel, the clearer view you're going to have of that righteousness. That's what the gospel keeps revealing to you. It doesn't reveal your goodness. It reveals your sin. But it keeps revealing his goodness and his power and his grace and his righteousness. For, as it is written, and how many times is it written? The just shall live by faith. Four times. That's right. Four times in the Bible. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38. The just. That's Charlie said, that's the justified. That's those that have seen the just one. That's the ones for whom Christ came, the just for the unjust, that he might make us just. He became what we are, that we might become what he is, that he might bring us to God. So the justified, the sanctified, the righteous shall live by faith. Now then, what's that mean? The just shall live by faith. What does that mean? That's what I want to talk about tonight. The just shall live by faith. Now here's the key. Here's the key. Now here's the key, the whole message. It doesn't say the just shall live upon his faith. Faith is not some magic potion. Faith is not some positive mental attitude. Faith is not some hocus pocus. It says the just shall live by faith upon Christ. We live upon Christ. We feed upon Christ by faith. See, it doesn't say the just shall live upon his faith. It says the just shall live by faith upon Christ. My soul lives and feeds upon Christ. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but what? Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by feeding on him. That's what that's talking about. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't live by my faith. I live by faith upon Him, upon Christ. Now, would you allow me to show you seven things? That's what I want to give you tonight. Seven things that show us how faith lives upon Christ, feeds upon Christ, draws from Christ. This faith, and it doesn't matter whether faith is strong or weak. It doesn't matter whether you enjoy or sorrow. This faith always lives and feeds upon Christ. All right, first of all, here's seven things. First of all, faith lives upon the name of Christ. The name of Christ. Oh, how sweet. The name of Christ. Did you ever have a door open to you in the name of someone else? Did you ever? You're nobody, you're unknown, you're in a town or in a place, and you're a stranger. You're nobody, you're unknown. And a friend stops by and says, now you go over here. You don't know these people, they don't know you, they don't trust you. But you tell them, I sent you. You give them my name. And they'll let you in. And my friend, that's the way it is with the believer. This is the way we have all we have. This is the way we do all we do. This is the way we'll ever be anything. And that's in His name. In His name. The Father loveth the Son. And if I want to have anything to do with the Father, I've got to have that name. His name. He said, whatsoever you ask my Father in my name. You ain't nobody. We got no pull with God. We've got no right to call upon God. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He'll do it, because there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter came to the gate beautiful, and there was that cripple sitting at the gate, all lame and broken. And Peter stood in front of that cripple and he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you rise up and walk. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he rose up and walked. And I tell you this, that's my strength. And that's my confidence, and that's my access into this grace. That name, the Lord Jesus Christ said, use my name. Use my name. If you go in my name, the door will open. The door will open. And that name is above every name, exalted above exaltation. So we live on the name of Christ. A while ago he prayed, and how'd you close? In the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son. Because you knew why. Why did you do that? You knew you got no business calling on God without that name. The door won't open. Lord, we prophesied and did all these things, but our Lord said, I never knew you. My name. All right, secondly, faith lives on the name of Christ. Secondly, faith lives on the blood of Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews 10. Faith lives upon the blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 verse 19. Listen to this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, confidence, liberty to enter into the holiest. Right into the presence of God. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. That says it all. Do I dare to stand in God's presence? Do I dare to stand in God's presence? Do I dare to look God in the face? Do I dare to come into the holiest, into the presence of God? Do I dare do that? I can go to God through the blood of Christ. And I can ask anything and expect to receive anything. Listen, anything within the testament and covenant that was made with Christ, for all that is in that testament and covenant is mine by the purchase of His blood. I can claim it by the blood of Christ. That's how I claim forgiveness of sin. The blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That's how I claim the right to call him my Father, because having boldness to come into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's how I claim peace, because he made peace by the blood of his cross. I live on that. You see what I'm saying? He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us what he purchased with his blood? Peace, pardon, life, light, grace, glory, it's the blood. So I feed on the blood of Christ. Faith lives on the blood. It's the blood that gives us access to the presence of God. It's the blood that cleanseth us from sin. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. It's the blood. We feed on the blood. Thirdly, faith feeds on the flesh of Christ. Turn to John 6. Now this, what I'm trying to say, and I hope that I'm getting it across, we don't live upon faith. We live by faith upon Christ. His name, we use that name. We love that name. We revere that name. We know the value of that name. And I know more about it every day. I live on the blood of Christ. I value the blood of Christ. I claim what I claim through the blood of Christ. No other reason. And then I feed on the flesh of Christ, my faith does. John 6:55, listen. John 6:55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. The just shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Now how am I going to illustrate that? He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. How am I going to illustrate that? I illustrate it as he did. Just exactly as he did, using Israel. Israel was in the wilderness. Israel is a type and shadow and picture of true Israel, is it not? Israel back there in the wilderness is a picture of true Israel in our wilderness, in the world. They were there 40 years in that wilderness. How did they survive? How did they live? How did they eat? What did they drink? I'll tell you how they survived. The only way they survived. The wilderness afforded them nothing. The wilderness provided them nothing. They ate the bread that came from heaven, and they drank the water out of the rock. And I'll tell you, and I'll tell me this, in our journey through this world affords us absolutely nothing spiritually. This world can make no contribution to your spiritual life. This world, rather, would see you die. So if you're going to survive spiritually, the true Israel of God, you're going to eat that bread from heaven. The Son of God came into this world and lived in the flesh and died on the cross, was buried and rose again. You're going to live on that flesh, and we're going to drink that blood. And that's how we, that's what he's talking about there. Just like Israel of old, freely, without working, received the bread from heaven. And he said, I'm the bread from heaven. He that eateth this bread will live forever. And I'm the water. He that drinketh of me shall live forever. And the hymn writer put it this way, bread of heaven, on thee I feed. For thy flesh is my meat indeed. Ever may my soul be fed with this true and living bread. Everything here is death and dying. And so the believer, living by faith upon Christ, bread and water, bread and drink. All right, fourthly, now faith lives on the name of Christ. Faith lives on the blood of Christ. Faith lives on the flesh of Christ. He is my daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread, not only physically but spiritually. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith lives on the righteousness of Christ. That's how faith lives. That's how it survives, on the righteousness of Christ. One day, I was brought to realize that by my birth and my nature, I'm an enemy of God. He said in Ephesians 2:12, you're without God, without hope, and without Christ in this world. And I also realized, secondly, that my deeds and the sinful motions within me actually separated me from God. My birth and my nature made me an enemy of God, and my deeds and thoughts literally separated me from God. And I found out that God is so holy that even my goodness and even my righteousness was as filthy rags in God's sight. Oh, woe is me. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? What shall I do? What shall I say? Where shall my sinful soul be hid? Turn to Isaiah 45 and let's see. Isaiah 45. Verse 22. Isaiah 45, 22. Look unto me. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, for I'm God, and there's none else. I have sworn by myself, and the word's gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. So surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. There's my righteousness. There's my strength. I will say, in the Lord I have righteousness. My faith lives upon the righteousness of Christ. I never had any righteousness when I met him by nature, and I don't have any now. As far as my own flesh is concerned, I haven't grown one cubit, have you? Not one inch. So I look to him, cling to him, rest in him, and I'll keep saying, when Satan challenges me, I'll say, in the Lord I have righteousness. When the law looks me in the face, I'll say, in the Lord have I righteousness. My faith feeds on him, draws from him, depends on him. You see what I'm saying? Never do I say, well, I believe. No, I believe him. Never do I say, well, I made a decision. No, I look to him. I feed on him. Can't do without him. I feed on his name. I use his name, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name. I feed on his blood. It's what cleanses me. I feed on his flesh. That's my daily bread. That's how I'm sustained. That's how I'm comforted. Everything's in Christ. And I feed on his righteousness. And then fifthly, faith feeds on the Word of God. I tell you, well listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He said, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Here's where it all is. I tell you, other than Christ. Now listen, I thought about this when I put it down, and I mean it. Other than Christ, there's nothing more precious to a believer than the Word of God. Nothing. I mean nothing. He's exalted his Word above his name. That's right. Faith feeds on the Word of God. Feeds on the Word of God. Turn to Psalm 119. I'll show you this. And just take your pen there and put a little check by each one of these verses. I'm going to run rapidly through several verses. Psalm 119. Listen to David. This is a psalm about the Word of God. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in what? In his excellent Word. Faith feeds on the Word. Can't separate the incarnate Word from the written Word. Verse 9, Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 41, let thy mercies come also upon me, unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. Verse 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Hope on the word. Verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I've hoped in thy word. Yeah, I'm always glad to see you when you got a word from him. Isn't that right? Glad to see. Welcome. Don't bring me any of this human trash. Bring me his word, and they'll be glad to see me. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy word, thy testimonies are my meditation. Verse 113 and 114, listen. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law, thy word do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Want faith to grow? Want confidence to grow? Assurance to grow? Look into the precious word. Verse 161, look at this one. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Now verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplications come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. I never will forget, brought a message one time. It was a blessing to me. Peter, the disciples, been out there fishing all night. They'd fished that place many times. They knew that lake like the back of your hand. They were professional fishermen, and they'd toiled all night and caught nothing. And they'd come in the morning, and they were washing their nets and packing them away, and I guess they had a lot of them already packed away, and cleaning out the boats, and the master walked up, and he said, children, do you have any meat? They said, no, Lord, we've fished all night and caught nothing. He said, get back in the boats, and take your nets, and cast off from shore, and put your nets right over here. And Peter said, Lord, like we told you, we fished all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, I like that time. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll put down my net. That's what faith lives on. Isn't that true? Lives on the word. Not human reason, the word of God. Not human logic, the word of God. That's what faith lives on. The word of God. I don't have any human reason or logic to believe half I believe. I just got his word. And that's enough. That's sufficient. It lives on the word. Not by feeling or emotion. And then in the sixth place, faith feeds and lives on the intercession of Christ. My little children, John said, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? That you sin not. But we do. And I'm glad he adds, and if or when any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. So, here my soul rests, and this is what my soul feeds upon. I may be condemned by the world, and have a right to be. I may be condemned by the law and have a right to be. I may be condemned by my own conscience and have a right to be. And yet, I'm going to carry the day. I'm going to carry the day in the court of heaven. I'm going to be acquitted. I'm going to be justified because my advocate's there as the lamb slain in the midst of the throne. He has the Father's ear and he's never lost the case. In fact, in that higher court, his will is law. I feed on that. Faith literally feeds on the intercession of Christ. It feeds on it. It derives its happiness and strength to go on and comfort and whatever. It feeds. You see what I'm saying? Faith's not some, well, I believe, so I must be all right. Uh-uh. He's at the right hand of God, so I am all right. I have an advocate. That's what faith feeds on, the intercession of Christ. And then last of all, number 7, faith lives and feeds on the offices of Christ, the attributes and offices of Christ. Turn to Hebrews 5. In this verse here, Hebrews 5 plainly declares that in this office of high priest, mediator, representative, no man takes that office on himself, but he that's appointed of God. So these offices I'm going to mention that he holds are God-given. Hebrews 5, verse 3. And by reason hereof, or verse 4, and no man taketh this office, this honor unto himself, but he that's called of God, as Aaron was, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and as he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ has given to him on behalf of his people sacred, solemn offices ordained of God, and he shall be faithful in all things in his house. He is my prophet. Moses promised him way back yonder. He's my prophet. And he'll reveal to me that good and perfect will of the Father. He'll reveal unto me the mysteries of his kingdom. My faith feeds on that. Secondly, he's my priest. He will, by his great sacrifice, purge me from all sin. He will take me as my high priest with somewhat to offer into the very presence of the Father, holy and unblameable. He's my king. He will conquer all my enemies. He'll reign over them, and I'll reign with him. My king. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God made him my shepherd, and God gave him a sheep. He brought again from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep. Faith feeds on that. He's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth my still waters. God gave him that to do. He's the captain of my salvation, who leads many sons to glory. He's my mediator. The Heavenly Father says there's one God and there's one mediator between God and men. And that's the man, the man, Christ Jesus. And he's my physician who heals all my diseases. So if Christ has been appointed of the Father to fulfill these offices, if he has come to earth and accomplished the work given him to do, it's finished, he said, and he has ascended back to the Father, he will indeed do for us all that he undertook, and in nothing shall he fail. The just live. Not by hocus pocus, not by magic words, not by feeling, not even by determined faith. They just live by faith on Christ. On Christ. And feed, never stop feeding on him. So it really doesn't matter how strong my faith is. It's how strong the object of my faith is. I may have the weakest faith known to man, but it better be in Christ. I just feed on his name, on his blood, on his flesh, on his intercession, on his righteousness, on his offices. And my, my. See what I'm talking about? Don't you feel better already? Well, what made you feel better?
I read the Word.
That's where you didn't come here expecting me to encourage you, did you? I needed it worse than you did. But you came here and sat down, and all we did was open this book and read you a few precious promises, and boy, you feel like taking on the world now. That's right. His Word will do that. And I'll tell you, you want to grow weak? Stay away from it. Want to dry up on the vine? Stay away from it. That's where it is. I feed on the Word. And He's the Word. So faith, the just live by faith upon Christ. All right. We're going to have a baptismal service tonight. I preached last Sunday night on what is it to confess Christ. And I tried to show how that the first place we confess Christ is in here. From Romans 10. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And when we're persuaded of the Spirit of God and convinced by the grace of God that salvation is in the Son of God and the Son of God alone. First of all, we confess it in here. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we confess it in baptism. That's the reason He gave baptism. It's like He gave the Lord's table. As far as I know, there are only two ordinances given to the church. And neither one of them have anything to do with the birth of Christ. They both have something to do with the death of Christ. You show my death till I come. And the Lord's table shows His broken body and shed blood. Baptism says, and when we take the Lord's table, we say, His body was broken for me and His blood was shed for me. When we go into the waters of baptism, we're saying to all who witness it that I died with Christ, was buried and rose again. And then we confess it by being identified with His people. Martin Luther said this, John, that a man's not confessing Christ unless he's confessing Christ where the name of Christ is challenged. In His day. Don't go talking about what the old preachers. Some of us, I believe what the old preachers believe. You better believe what your present day preacher's preaching. Be identified with him. It's no good to brag on dead preachers and kill living preachers. That's where a man is identified with Christ. Isn't that right? Where the name of Christ is challenged in your community, in your day, in your generation, that's where you identify with Christ. It's easy to, even now, I told somebody this not long ago, Brother Barnard, when he was alive, he wasn't too famous. A lot of folks didn't care for him too much, but they do now. He's dead. He's dead now. They're all just talking about how they love Brother Barnard. I say, you dead? Where were you when he was trying to get something to eat, you know, to preach? Where were you hanging out, you know? But here's in my day, that's where you confess Christ. And you continue by conversation and conduct. So two of our ladies are going to follow the Lord in baptism. Mike, you come and lead our...